D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators will take on the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here, as always, on 102.5 The Game. We've got much to discuss today. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, will join us at 4 after the Commodores' blowout win against the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday. And it all comes down to this. Vanderbilt at Tennessee this weekend. We will be talking a lot about that game over the next few days. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us at 4:40 instead of the usual 3:40. But we will catch up with our friend TD later in the program. And guys, look, our wonderful city, our beautiful city, we're down bad when it comes to professional sports. Our NFL team is the worst in the league. Mm-hmm. Our NHL team is the worst in the league. And when you are home to two of the worst teams, or the worst teams in their two respective leagues, I should say, you've got to find something. You've got to find anything to feel encouraged about. And although the Tennessee Titans lost yesterday to the Seattle Seahawks, the Titans, by the way, now 1-10. Here's a fun fact for you. The Tennessee Titans are 1-10 or worse for the first time since 1994. Think about how many bad Titans slash Oilers teams there have been over the years. But this is the first time since 1994 that the Titans are 1-10 or worse. By the way, in 1994, the Titans started 1-10 and finished 2-14.
That was the year after they were the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. The run-and-shoot Warren Moon Oilers, who caught fire and then missed the chance in the Astrodome with home field advantage to Joe Montana and the Chiefs. And then that was the very beginning of the NFL salary cap. And it hit hard because basically Warren Moon and everybody left the team and they were left with the scraps. But that was what it all started. The Jeff Fisher era started the following year, I think.
So it's been,
right?
A long time.
Didn't he take over in late 94? I think in the last couple of games, yes. In 94, if I remember correctly.
Keegan on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, Nashville SC fans aren't down bad. That's true.
Here we go with the SC. Congrats to Nashville SC.
You can't forget about it. They are professional.
I get it.
Major League Soccer.
I get it.
They are a major league team. That is true. But when it comes to the two major league teams in our city, the Titans and the Predators, it's not a good time to be a fan of either of those teams. But you're looking for anything to be encouraged about. And although the Titans lost 30-24 to the Seahawks, hey, the Titans covered, congratulations. We did see, statistically, the best performance of Cam Ward's young NFL career. He had his highest QBR, 75.1. His previous best was 60.1 against the Texans last week. So his two best performances of the season by QBR have come in the past 2 weeks. He completed two-thirds of his passes, threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown.
Hello.
There we go, Willie. That's what you
That's
wanted.
That's what I'd like to see. We've been asking for it.
So, look, we're trying to find anything to feel positive about, and it's not easy. But it appears, I emphasize that word, appears that Cam Ward is beginning to break out. So whether you look at the numbers, whether you look at just what you're watching on TV, I think most, if not all of us, can agree that that was the best performance of Cam Ward's young career. And look, there haven't been too many great ones, so you have to put that into context. But Willie, Derek, at least Cam Ward is showing signs that maybe he can be pretty good.
I mean, this isn't something that, you know, is a revelation to me because of, you know, what he did yesterday. He still has to get better. There are things he still need to do as a quarterback to get better. But this game didn't change my mind on, you know, what I'm thinking about, what I think of Cam Ward. He's shown moments throughout this season that has shown me that he does have what it takes to be that guy. Now, whether he puts it all together, that's up to Cam. But he has those things that we're looking for in a franchise quarterback. Now, elite quarterback and franchise quarterback are two different things to me. So I know everybody wants him to be elite because he was the first pick in the draft, and I get that part. But I also understand that if he's the franchise quarterback, he's still able to lead them where they want to go. He just may need a little bit more help than an elite quarterback. But there's nothing wrong with that because Sam Darnold's not elite. Sam Darnold's a franchise quarterback, but they've surrounded him with good players, and they're continuing to do that. And he's flourishing, whether he was in Minnesota or now in Seattle. From what I've seen, and now Cam has unlocked this other box that we have been waiting on, the box of running. Now he's opened that up. Now what he's done is, now every defensive coordinator from here on out, they're not saying, oh, don't worry about Cam. He can't run. He trips over his own feet. Now they're saying, hey, this kid can run. You better pay attention to him. Now that unlocks another game, and that unlocks a little bit more of what they can do from an offensive standpoint. But nothing he did made me think any different than what I thought prior to the game. I think Cam's going to be a good quarterback. They just need to surround him with individuals that can grow with him. And right now, those individuals that can grow with him, they're young too, and they're trying to figure it out too, and nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to talk about Cam being the number one pick, and he should just elevate everybody. If you got a tell me the last time a number one pick elevated, other than knowing, because Andrew Luck, he had a good team. That was a good team he went to. You know, so tell me a guy that went in, number one pick quarterback, that took a bad team like the Titans and took them to the playoffs that first year. You could say Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels had a better team. And he wasn't even the number one pick.
He wasn't the first pick.
And who was the number one? Caleb Williams. He had better talent than Cam Ward. And he couldn't get them. They ain't even sniffed the playoffs. So, to me, what I've seen of Cam is that he's developing. And he's not a finished product. There are things he still need to work on. But I have seen more things that is proven to me that he can be the franchise guy than I've seen that says he's not the franchise guy.
By the way, Andrew Luck in his rookie season had Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton wide receiver.
You got a Hall of Famer and another guy that was pretty damn good in T.Y. Hilton.
Willie, your thoughts on Cam Ward's performance yesterday?
And look, Andrew Luck was pretty special.
Yeah, and he was damn good, too.
He was day one. You could tell. That guy was good, mm-hmm. And he did have a much better supporting cast. It was unusual circumstances why they slipped all the way to get the first pick the year before. We all know the story. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's the thing. I'm encouraged. I don't want to overblow it because a lot of what he did was after the game was over. They were way behind, and so it is sometimes easier. But they couldn't even do that early in the season when they were falling behind. You know, have successful drives even in those situations where, you know, the other team is playing the scoreboard, right? They're keeping the clock running. But they're making progress. And I think, as you said, D-Mace, I think it's very noteworthy that he continues to build the chemistry with very young players, and DK and Helm. And, yes, Mr. Restrepo joins the little club of rookies here. So maybe you build a foundation, and then you add the pieces that are really the difference makers with the coming picks that you have. That's what you have to hope for. But I like that Ward is playing what we've been told about him, that he's going to keep working. He's going to keep trying to improve because you're seeing the signs. The running thing is huge to me. Like he's got a bit. He looks all of a sudden like he's got a little better feel for how to get out of there. I was wondering if we were going to see that because especially after we had watched Levis never figure it out the entire year last year, how to do that. In fact, it got worse. Like, he was running into the rushers a lot of times. That's what it seemed like. And Ward had some of that early in the season. Uh-huh. But now, I think he's figuring out, look, if I take the hard step, if I know the coverage and I know that area is open, they're playing man, if I can get through that first wave with the right time, with a good explosive step, I can make some key plays. And he did right out of the gate yesterday.
Did your throats feel a little sore yesterday? did you catch the strep?
I was happy for the young man.
And we'll get more into Xavier Restrepo. Don't you worry.
He's better than Mason Kinsey.
Exactly. He did. Yeah, he did better than Mason Kinsey. Mason Kinsey better watch out now. I'm serious. I am dead serious about that. But
it makes you wonder though.
More.
What took so long? If I'm not a member of that club, mm-hmm. right? But
I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody for the Restrepo.
Willie thinks it's fake love. Yeah. Remember that. He thinks it's fake.
Oh, it's all fake love on the internet. Now, if he keeps playing well, all of a sudden, I found real love
on the internet. I found real love. Not all internet love is fake love. I found real love on the internet.
Yeah. In real life,
he's a Hallmark movie. Yeah. He's a Hallmark movie. There you go.
Okay. Just saying.
Look, we all need stories like that. God knows.
Yes, but look. As I said, Cam Ward's highest QBR of the season. His first game this season without a fumble or interception. You have to mention that as well. He was making great plays on the move. There was that early completion to Chigakonkwo where he was falling down, was able to get the ball out in time, and Chigakonkwo caught the ball. That completion to Xavier Restrepo, that first completion for Xavier Restrepo, Cam Ward evaded pressure. Chucked it as he was falling out of bounds, basically, over the middle. Restrepo was there. When you look at the amount of – when you look at his pressure-to-sack percentage in this game, 17.4%, which was his second-best total of the season. So he did get sacked, what, four times?
Four times. But it looks like the protection is overall getting a little better. Do we agree? They've had the same guys for the most part. Now, I don't know what happened. Yeah. Moore wasn't in there.
Yeah,
but I feel like they're starting to get a little bit better.
More, I don't know. I think what is happening now, Cam is helping them because his ability to now want to get out the pocket
and get rid of the ball
quickly, and you got to contribute that to Bo Hardigree as well. Like, we're gonna get the ball out of your hands as quickly, and if you don't see it, run, just go, get us what we can. And he's done a good job of getting down. Again, He's opening up slowly these little sort of nuggets in his game that we've been wondering about. He made the, last week he threw the corner route to Chig. That's a route that he needs to continue to work at. Whether he's getting the ball to Restrepo or running the football or checking the football down, he's doing these little things now that helps young quarterbacks to be really good in this league. He's not trying to go from 1 to 10 anymore. He's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's taking the steps now. You can see it. Because either if he doesn't see it, he's either running now or he's running and then he'll see the check down real quick. So he's getting it out of his hands. And Bo Hardigree, I think they've really done a good job. He and McCoy have really done a good job, especially probably during the bye week. It really stressing to him and making him understand this can help the team. There's nothing wrong with running a football. We know you can throw it, but there's nothing wrong with tucking it and running it. Because not only are you helping yourself, you're helping the offensive linemen too. Now they're not sitting in there trying to hold for a long time. You're out of there and you're gone. So he's unlocking these little things in this game that I think Brian Callahan, unfortunately, it wasn't there when he was there, but now all of a sudden, for some reason, now it's starting to, sort of trickle out a little bit as far as his game. But again, it doesn't change. I think the kid still has a lot to learn, but I think there's enough there to say if they continue to do the things around him, continue to bring him along slowly, continue to do the things within the offense that are more sort of toward his strength than anything, then I think this kid, he's going to be okay.
To your point, Derek, about the inexperience of Cam Ward's pass catchers, Nick Suss of the Tennessean shared this yesterday. Quote, Cam Ward targeted Chim Dike, Gunnar Helman, Xavier Restrepo 6-plus times each. Not counting strike years, this is only the third time in NFL history that a rookie quarterback has targeted 3-plus rookie pass catchers 6 times in the same game.
That's a pretty interesting stat. I mean, that tells you a lot. Hopefully there's more where that came from. Iron Manor didn't even play. That's the interesting thing about it, because they have another rookie who presumably would have been targeted a few times. They're also doing this against – the last two games have been encouraging against good defense.
Exactly.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, and so I think it gives you an idea, like, are they maybe capable of lighting up a lesser team? They are going to get a couple of chances to do that in the coming weeks if they can keep this group together. So knock on wood, hopefully they can keep taking these small strides and stay, you know, with the pace of the tankathon kind of thing. You know, the Raiders and the Browns, somebody was going to get a win yesterday, so congratulations to Shador and the Browns.
The Giants let us down.
They've got it down to a science. Look good for about three and a half quarters, and everybody's
James
like, hey,
Winston
look.
Was yeah. all over
Man,
the place.
Listen,
he caught the touchdown pass, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Jameis, to me, is the best quarterback in the NFL.
From an entertainment standpoint, he's going to be entertaining.
If he becomes a free agent, and I think they signed him to a 2-year deal, but if he becomes a free agent, Amy, Borgonzi, Brinker, can y'all please sign this man? Because he's your quintessential backup. He is. He understands where he is in his career. If he starts, great. He's going to make the best of it. He may throw 5 touchdowns. He may throw 5 interceptions. But you're going to get every bit of Jameis Winston, okay? You're going to get him that day. But what I love about Jameis Winston is that he's so encouraging. And that is what a young quarterback needs. He doesn't need somebody that everybody is trying to push or whatnot. He needs somebody that can compete with him, yes. But understand that I'm competing with it. I'm making him better. And if I get the starting job, great. But if I don't, then I'm going to support this young man with every bone in my body. And that is what Jameis went. I'm like, man, hell, I would get him to coach my team, period, man. If it's just to do the motivational speeches. Yes. Just have him coach my team for that purpose.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take your reaction all show long to the Titans' loss to the Seahawks, and more specifically, Cam Ward. Is he beginning to break out? Again, keep it in context. A 75.1 QBR, it's solid. It isn't fantastic. But when you consider how poorly he was playing up until the last couple of weeks, it is a significant step up for him. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the other side. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from Queso the Kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap.
I love the way Cam played today. That was you see the competitor, the ability to make play. I mean, you guys have asked, I mean, since day one, about him making plays with his feet and the way he moved in the pocket at certain times during the game and just competed his tail off. And some of the plays that he made, the wow plays, the scrambles, is, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, saying one thing and next thing you know, here's a big play that he makes. But just it's taken that next step. And that's what he's done. And we've been saying it from day one, the way he competes, the way he works every day. You know, when we first came in, you know, in the off-season program, the early mornings, staying late, things like that, it's starting to pay off. And, you know, we've said it all along. As a young quarterback in this league, it takes some time, and it's great to see the improvements that he's making week in and week out. And there's the ups and downs. There's definitely – we're going to turn the film on tomorrow and look at some things. We'll clean it up and say, hey, you got to do these things better. But just the command of the offense and some checks that he made during the game, I really like the way he played today.
That was Mike McCoy talking about Cam Ward's performance yesterday against the Seahawks. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we are presented by Bax Homeworks, remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. Let's go to James on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. James, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
Going
you?
Good.
Man, I think Cam Ward done awesome. The last 3 or 4 games, I've just seen such an improvement. Way he stays in the pocket, moves up in the pocket. He scrambles when he can and making better throws, better decisions. To me, you take the head off of Patrick Mahomes and put Patrick Mahomes' head on his body, they look so much alike. They play alike, but I've seen a lot of improvement. I think we got a lot to build on with Cam Ward.
Thank you for the call, James.
Thank you, James.
It's dangerous when you mention the M word when it comes to Cam Ward. It's dangerous.
I'm not going to get into what James said. If James believed, there was some resemblance of Patrick Mahomes, then I'm not surprised, because it's not like James is the first person that has said this. It has been said.
Mike Borgonzi, made comparisons
months ago. So
Louis Riddick has
done his comparison. So yes. Finally, the play is starting to sort of match the talent that you believed he had or has. But there are still things he need to work at as a quarterback. He's not a finished product. By no means is he even close to being that. But he is doing the necessary things, I believe, that gives you a chance to be a damn good player in this league. And that's all you can ask. Now, he has to let, the talent that he has take over. But he's doing all the things that quarterbacks, do in this league that want to be successful.
Bob on our text line says, is it true the Titans have had the toughest schedule and the Patriots the easiest? So last week, we referenced a story from Paul Kaharsky at paulkaharsky.com. So this was before the games this weekend, so I don't know how much this has changed. But before the games this weekend, Titans opponents, according to Paul Kaharsky, had a league-high winning percentage of 569 versus New England at 368. And we went through the caliber of defenses that the Titans have faced. I looked at it by passing EPA per play allowed. The Titans have played the Texans twice, number one in that category. They played the Rams, number two in that category. The Broncos, number three in that category. The Chargers, number eight in that category. The Patriots, number nine in that category. The Seahawks are 14th in that category. They played the Colts twice, who are 15th in that category. So a lot of tough defenses. Mm-hmm. I saw Mina Kimes of ESPN, who is a noted Seahawks fan. She tweeted yesterday that Cam Ward's been playing better against the Seahawks than a lot of veteran quarterbacks. Cam Ward's QBR against the Seahawks yesterday was the third highest against the Seahawks this season. If I recall off the top of my head, the only two quarterbacks who performed better by QBR against the Seahawks were Baker Mayfield and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and with defenses, when you're going against a defense like Seattle's, who's an aggressive defense, and they're bringing blitzes from just about everywhere. And it seemed like they even announced it. It seemed like they're blitzing a little bit more against Cam. And even throughout all of that, he still found ways to keep the offense going. Not every time, but on key drives that they had to make, especially during the end. He was able to sift through all that along with the offensive line's help, but he was able to sift through all that and still make the necessary throws that he needed to make or tuck it and run. So the issue is this. If he would have not, performed the way he performed, and the way he performed wasn't great, it was good. There's still a lot of meat left on the bone. But had he not perform that way, it would have been seen as a negative. Like, he couldn't do this against, not knowing that this is one of the best defenses in the National Football League. You realize that, right? One of the best pass secondaries in the National Football League. You realize that, right? But he goes out there and he performs, and there's always still this but. And I even texted y'all yesterday. That slant he completed, where was his elbow? His elbow was down.
I wanted you to
and
bring
throw
that
it. Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like quarterbacks are going to do that. Those are the things that he's still working at. So when he does it from time to time, don't make it a minus. Don't blame him for it.
We shouldn't nitpick.
Exactly.
Right?
Don't
it's not
nitpick
gonna be
at it. It's not. No quarterback, even Patrick Mahomes, he's not perfect.
But that's why
you
I want
talk about your mechanics and stuff.
I've always thought that this has been the question, even from training camp, is – and I think we're getting our answer, is does he need to just – break himself of that habit, the different arm angles,
yes.
Right? Because he's still doing it. He had one that almost got picked off. He almost had a big man interception on the one where he telegraphed it a little bit. The defensive end, clearly had seen something on film. He jumped the route.
It was a bad play.
He didn't look, and he almost got burned. That was interception worthy. But it looks like they're going to keep allowing him to be free to use the different arm angles. The question is he going to get better at it as he gets more experience, knowing how to do it? Will the game slow down, et cetera?
Chris on our text line says, just last week, D-Mace was talking about how he didn't want Cam Ward running like Jackson Dart, and now he is saying he wants Cam to run. Which one is it?
Oh, my goodness, people. Oh, man. People, listening is really key in this world. Like, listen to everything. Don't just half of this and half of that. I don't want him like, have you seen Jackson Dart running? Have y'all seen Jackson? He runs like Will Levis. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just, because he's hurt. A big fella, and he's hurt now. What have I said about Cam? I want him to run more if it's there, but get down. Be careful. You want a quarterback to go out there and do what it takes to win football games.
But not okay? be reckless.
But not be reckless. So, again, texter, I don't want him to be like Jackson Dart, because Jackson Dart's sitting on a bench right now because he's hurt. Because he hadn't figured out how to run in this league. So, yes, I want Cam to protect himself. And I want him, like I said last week, hey, if it's there, take it, but get down. I don't want him sitting in the pocket and taking sacks.
This is sports talk show, people.
Exactly. So
nuanced discussion. It's not hot takes.
Exactly.
It's not run 50 times or never run. Nuanced discussion,
people.
You've
got to know when to run.
Grasp the concept. It's not about hot air. Hot takes. Discussion.
Yeah,
thank you.
Discussing it.
I'm off my soapbox. Thank
there you
go.
Speaking of hot takes, one texter, Ward, 1-10. Shedeur Sanders, 1-0. December 7th.
I knew that was coming today. I told my son yesterday, I said, watch. There's going to be somebody tomorrow that says, Shedeur Sanders has as many wins as Cam Ward.
December 7th. We'll see if the Titans made the right choice.
Do it. So thank you to whoever that was.
Yes.
Yes.
Made my day.
Oh, man.
Sort of.
One commenter on our YouTube chat says, one thing I want to point out, Ward is much better on his deep and mid accuracy when he throws left and partially or fully across his body, which is usually a weakness for most quarterbacks. It's his strength, LOL.
Well, I mean, I think he does, and I've said this, I think he does with slants. I think he does have slight problem with throwing from right to left, at least that slant, because he's put a few, you know, whether it's receiver fault, I don't know. But there have been two situations where he's thrown it behind a guy, and both of them have been intercepted, I believe, this season. He just needs to work at that. He's good throwing it to his left. I think he is. Those corner routes, he has to get better. He just, because those are the routes that are, those are big play routes. Those are routes that you're going to get from time to time in the National Football League, especially when they do these high and lows. And if you get enough time, you're going to find you complete more of those passes if you work on them than not. And those are the ones that he needs to work on, those deep corner routes. That middle of the route, I mean, the kid can throw he can throw in the middle of the football field just as good as any young quarterback out there. He just has to, the anticipation with he and his receivers, there have been so many receivers in and out, him getting that rhythm and feeling comfortable with that guy running down the middle, the one he hit Restrepo on. I mean, as soon as Restrepo cleared that safety or that backer right there, the ball was on his chest. That's what Cam, he thrives at those tight throws like that, especially down the middle of the field.
We talked about this last week, looking at his accuracy depending on the depth of the pass and where the pass is going. Outside left, 20-plus yards, so deep outside left. He's 5 for 12 on the season. Intermediate outside left, so between 10 and 19. He's 7 for 18 on the season. Outside right, 20-plus, 3 of 14 on the season. Outside right, intermediate, 10 of 25.
That tells you that right side, he hasn't had.
He's 13 for 39. I think that's right. 13 for 39 when passing outside the numbers on the right sideline, 10-plus yards or more.
That's where he needs to get better at. Those are the NFL throws that we talked about. If you listen to announcers during the college games and you see those deep intermediate or out routes that they run and they throw, and you hear them every time. That's a big time NFL throw. Why? Because those routes are so deep and take long to develop. You got to make sure, and you're throwing it a lot of times in between zone coverage. So you got to worry about the underneath guy, and then also you got to worry about the guy either on him or on top of him. So you got to fit in that hole. And when you could throw those balls consistently, those are what you call big time NFL throws.
You know what's interesting? This is all setting the table. I think there are a couple of intriguing games. The schedule, you know, we talked about how tough the defenses have been. The strength of schedule is, especially for a team that had the first pick in the draft last year. They won three games. You're supposed to have an easy schedule the next year. They've got a ridiculously tough schedule. But there are a couple of teams that I would like to see if they can put up like really big, really good, efficient numbers. It doesn't have to be 500 yards or anything like that. But if you could have just good, efficient numbers and score a few more touchdowns when you do have a break in the schedule, that would be another good marker. Because hopefully playing the tough competition will help him in the long run. But so much has been made. Like, you know, the Patriots went right to the wire with the Bengals, who aren't very good. The Patriots are 10-2, but they've had some very easy –
they play some close games. But their schedule
is the softest that you can get.
And they've taken advantage of it. Drake May has been pretty good. So.
That's all you can do is play your schedule. Absolutely. And I know it's a sensitive subject, I think, for the Patriots. They are 10-2. They're not going to apologize. But for a team that the perception of a team that has the first pick in the draft is you're supposed to have an easy schedule the next year. That's not the case. It's the opposite.
The Titans host the Jaguars on Sunday at Nissan Stadium, the 7-4 Jaguars. Jaguars minus 6.5
is the line
I'm looking at the moment.
In overtime. It was a tightrope walk. Yeah. It was your typical Arizona Cardinals game that was just full of twists and turns. The Jags had, I think, a return touchdown. They had a pick six that was – I mean, it had everything. It went to OT.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction on the Titans' loss to the Seahawks and Cam Ward's performance – his encouraging performance yesterday at Nissan Stadium. But coming up next, before we get to Clark Lee, let's talk about how Vanderbilt laid the smackdown on the Kentucky Wildcats and Diego Pavia strengthening his Heisman Trophy case. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning is having a coat drive tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Seven Cedars Butcher Block on the Lebanon Square. They will be collecting new or gently used coats and jackets, and those will go to Lebanon's needy families.
Diego, how much have you improved as a passer the past year plus?
Yeah, well, a lot of people didn't think I could pass, you know. And you check these last three games out, when they let me throw it, it speaks for itself. But, yeah, I just want the NFL to know, too, like, I'm NFL ready, you know, and I want my chance, just like everyone has their chance, and I could do anything. I feel like I'm the best player in college football right now.
Diego Pavia, ladies and gentlemen,
numbers don't lie.
And when you have a game like Diego Pavia did on Saturday against the Kentucky Wildcats, you can say that 33 for 39 passing, 484 yards, the most in Vanderbilt history in a single game. 5 touchdown passes, plus 15 carries for 48 rushing yards and 1 touchdown.
Also, they took him out with 10 minutes to go. They could have padded the stats.
I thought they were.
It could have gotten up to 500.
I need to ask Clark about that because, listen, I know I get it's a team thing, and I know Clark explained it to Diego when he was on the sideline. Yeah. I get it. I would have probably did the same thing as a coach, too. Like, hey, don't interest the team.
Well, Kentucky was also frustrated. They had taken some really dumb penalties.
Exactly.
They were taking some cheap shots.
Yeah, they started
that,
to again.
That
yeah.
was the – that I
so
thought was
the
reason they did
game.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, so – but there has to be, like – there has to be that moment where you know you got the game where you think, like, man, okay, Vanderbilt – we've never been in a position again. We've never had a player of this caliber. Not this good, because they've had a bunch of really good players at Vandy. But a guy with this much energy and gravitas and just he's everything he says he is. So we need to help reward this guy. We need to make sure that, you know, the stats are up there when it comes Heisman time.
There were plenty of style points in Vanderbilt's win against Kentucky. By the way, Diego Pavia's passed three games. He's completed 77.3% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,226 yards. He has 11 passing touchdowns, one interception, 47 carries, 203 rushing yards, and three touchdowns.
Those
are against SEC games, too. Those are not non-league games.
You stack his numbers up against any quarterback that they consider Heisman Trophy worthy, and his numbers trump them from this standpoint, his rushing numbers. He has played more of a complete quarterback in today's game, I'm talking, than any other quarterback out there, probably other than Marcel Reed, maybe. But has Marcel Reed ran like Diego?
He can run. I haven't watched many games.
But what Diego has been doing both through the air and running the football, man, I'm not saying that he should win, like no doubt he should win. But there's no doubt he should be in New York.
Will be disappointed if he's not in New York. Now, there's still one game, right? He needs to play well in that game. Mm-hmm. To me, if they win that game, it will be a crime if he's not in New York as a finalist. In my mind, crime.
No, you're right. I think because if he plays the numbers are now coming around,
and I would say you guys know this because you guys watch him every week. I don't know if the voters in other parts of the country who are just seeing it from afar. They know the persona. They've probably seen the clips. But Vanderbilt is a ball control, milk the clock team, or at least they had been until the last couple of weeks when they played in some more up-tempo games where they needed to go up-tempo. Because he's showing you that the numbers are going to come around when they play more possessions. The more possessions and plays you run, the more numbers you're going to get. But a lot of the games that they play, they're literally trying to have the least amount of possessions that you can have. Their defense is more bend but don't break, and their offense is run the play clock literally down to 2 or 1 seconds. And so his efficiency is off the charts. And the intangibles of what he does to elevate the team around him, that should be worth something. So to me, he's the full package for a worthy Heisman candidate. I'm not saying he should be the winner, but – and look, if he has a dud on Saturday, that will affect things, right? It's your last impression, really, for the voters.
By the way, as of this morning, Diego Pavia is plus 600 to win the Heisman Trophy. That's fourth behind Fernando Mendoza at minus 130, Jeremiah Love at plus 425, and Julian Sayin at plus 425.
Julian Sayin, look, he's very good. He's surrounded by All-Americans. Whatever you want to talk. He's surrounded by great. That wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, he's unbelievable.
Yes. He's playing with two first-round wide receivers, no doubt. They both will get drafted in the top 15, probably in the top 10.
Bo Jackson, the running back.
Exactly. Has Bo Jackson, it's not the running back.
Not that Bo Jackson, but the guy's pretty good.
They are littered with talent. It's like an Alabama quarterback back in the day when they had Julio and all those guys. It was just littered with
that. I don't want to shortchange. He's a very good player. Julian Sayin is very good. We're going to find out how good in the playoffs, right? That's what it's about for that program. But look, you cannot tell me that there aren't 10 quarterbacks that could have Ohio State undefeated right now. Maybe 20 with their team, their defense. Course. Am I wrong? He the guy that's the reason they're winning? No. He's very, very good, but it's a machine. That's a machine. He should not be in the conversation to me. Now, the kid for Indiana, look, that's got a Heisman story behind it. Right. I'm on board for him. But how many people do they take in New York?
I think
it was only three.
Three, maybe four.
Did they take four or three?
They take four.
They take four. Okay, so that gives them a little better chance in there. So it's tracking that way if the odds makers know what are the odds makers polling privately the voters? I don't know. What do they do?
I would just like him to be there. I don't know if he's going to win, but I think he deserves
to be in New York,
depending on what happens on Saturday. And look, there are already people in the text line getting ready for the game on Saturday. Ricky on our text line says, oh my God, here it comes, the Vandy slob fest when the segment started. Caleb on our YouTube chat said, all that to lose next week. And look,
It has to. That's a big, big part of this.
Yes.
We're going to get into this matchup. Vanderbilt at Tennessee, 2:30 p.m., Neyland Stadium on Saturday. We are going to get into that game over the course of the week. The line that I'm looking at right now is Tennessee -2.5. But it'll be interesting. You have two of the top 10 scoring offenses in the country playing in this game. Vanderbilt slightly better in terms of scoring defense. Could be a lot of fireworks. Diego Pavia is on record saying he thinks that Vanderbilt can run the state. Well,
here's your opportunity.
This is your opportunity. We will get more into that. But if Diego Pavia shows out as he did on Saturday in this win and your possibly in game for the college football playoff on Saturday, you probably need to book his ticket to New York City by then.
Yeah, I think if he goes out and perform well, if he goes out and perform well, no matter a win or a loss, I think he has earned the right to be in New York as one of the four, regardless if they win or lose. If he plays well, if he plays like he has played in previous weeks. But if they win, I mean, there's no doubt. And he plays well, there's no doubt that I think his odds go up to win. And then obviously he's there. But I think his odds to win the Heisman goes up if he performs well against UT and they win.
So many times the Heisman, you look at the bright lights, especially for a guy like Saiyan. Mm-hmm. Ohio State has been an overwhelming favorite in what?
All their games.
Almost every one of their games.
Except the Texas
except for
game.
Texas. I don't know what the average is. Vanderbilt is an underdog this week. Vanderbilt was an underdog against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. They were an underdog against South Carolina. Certainly they were underdogs against Alabama and Texas. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other games. Have they been a home dog? I think they were a slight favorite against LSU, maybe close to a pick 'em. Maybe
a point
or two. I think they
were a favorite versus LSU. They
but you see favorite. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's the degree of difficulty, but just going by it's the tight. Odds makers of what he does for his team, what's on the line each week for his team. Julian Saiyan has a bad week against Rutgers, against Purdue. They're still going to win by 3 touchdowns, right? It's not the same kind of thing. So Julian Saiyan, to me, is that's not a Heisman guy. But I've seen guys win the Heisman. Gino Toretto won the Heisman.
Exactly.
Because he was on Miami, and they had NFL guys everywhere. Gino Toretto was not that great. He's not the reason they're winning. But the voters like, oh, yeah, the quarterback from Miami. Yeah, let's see. He's the Heisman. Come on, man. That's what I hope the voters take a look at. Take a look deep into the numbers. You will see it goes beyond the charisma of what Pavia is doing. It is every play. Everything goes through him, mm-hmm. intangibly but also tangibly.
What you need to do is you need to talk to our man Rex Rome, who I believe is a Heisman Trophy voter, and have him spread the word. So you got to get in Rex Rome's ear. It's all up to you, Rex Road, if you're listening.
The narrative.
Let's go to Lance in Clarksville on our phone
That's
line.
That's great idea. Hold on. I need to call Joe.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Let's go to our phone
Joe
line.
Joe knows what's going on.
Yes,
Joe's
Lance knows. In Clarksville. Lance, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Give me Joe's number. I'll call him.
He's on the air from 6 to 9.
Yes, call him
just
tomorrow.
Just get up early tomorrow.
Yes.
Give him a shout.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Okay, good.
No, I was going to say, if you took Diego and put him at Ohio State, and you took their quarterback and put him at Vanderbilt, the guy from Ohio State would not do as good as Pavia did with Vanderbilt, as Pavia's done. And he's supposed to be the best player. You got to look upon also the fact of their teammates, as y'all said a while ago. Pavia would win at Ohio State. Pavia wins here. He's the player. It's the player. It's a vote for a player, not a team. And not everybody around him does he make the team better. And that's what you have to say. And to those Tennessee fans, you better be scared if they're only 2.5-point dogs, because Pavia's worth 10. So you better be scared, because he's going to go there and spank your little orange and white butt.
thank you. Thank you for the call, Lance. Coach Willie.
Yes,
Coach Willie does not like that.
I did cringe a little bit there as he said that. But I do think it's worth pointing out. Remember early in the season, mm-hmm. and Tennessee is a very good team. Tennessee was impressive on Saturday. They look good. They trounced Florida.
First win
Florida.
In the swamp in more than 20 years.
So they're going to come in feeling pretty good, and they're going to have this attitude of, oh, Diego, probably let him have all the talk. We're going to be quiet. That's what I think we're going to see from Knoxville. They're going to sit back and be confident and say, just come on in, and let's see what you all got, right? Vanderbilt's not sneaking up on Tennessee.
Oh, no, not at all.
They're not going to sneak up on them. But I did ask the question early in the season. You remember when I did it to Chad, to Jonathan Hutton, to you guys. What do you think the line would be?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt at Tennessee. And I think I heard some 10, 7.5, 8.5.
2.5.
It's 2.5. Hmm. It's 2.5.
It's really a pick 'em, honestly, because it's at UT and it's 2.5. You really supposed to get 3 points.
Neil
really.
Stadium means something.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that place is going to be a hornet's nest. There's no question.
615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to Vanderbilt's win against Kentucky on Saturday. Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee will join us coming up next. We'll talk to him about the win against Kentucky and look ahead to the pivotal matchup, the critical matchup against Tennessee this weekend. We'll do that with Clark Lee coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.